Let's begin with the collapse of oil prices from over $100 a barrel to hovering in the 80s. Sure, it means cheaper gas at the pump for your weekend drives, but it's also a signal of global recession, dangerous deflation, and worries that Ebola or fear of Ebola may tip the world economy into some kind of a stall. Here to help us is the master of the oil markets himself, Daniel Yergin, author of The Quest, Energy, Security, and the Remaking of the Modern World. He's also vice chair of IHS, a global information company. Dan, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Glad to be with you. Thanks.
So why should Vladimir Putin be so scared of oil prices dipping? What does he need that price to be?
For Vladimir Putin, oil is very important. It provides about slightly over 40% of his national budget. And the Russian economy is very dependent upon oil and natural gas. The Russian economy has already been slowing down. And this price decline could well push it into a recession, even at the time when he's obviously standing against many countries on the subject of Ukraine.
You know, commodities traders were talking about this as though it's some kind of a rumor, but on some level, maybe it's sort of obvious. Could the U.S. and Saudi Arabia be deliberately flooding the markets with oil to drive the price down as a kind of a market-based sanction on Russia?
Absolutely not. It reminds one during the 1980s when oil prices collapsed, there was a theory that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia had colluded to bring the price down to lead to the collapse of the Soviet Union. It's very hard to imagine even the mechanism by which this could happen. Can you imagine the Obama administration getting together with all those independent oil producers in Texas and saying, let's bring down the price of oil and we'll do it with the Saudis in order to hurt the Russians? However, the fact of the matter is it does hurt the Russians because they are become quite addicted to high oil prices, and it hurts other countries like Iran as well.
If this slide is maybe not the result of some coordinated effort on the part of the U.S. and the Soviet Union, now that we're in $80 a barrel in that zone, can the U.S. and Saudi Arabia keep it there?
Well, I don't think the U.S. administration really has even the tools or the mechanisms to do this. The Saudis are probably going through a debating process themselves. They don't want to give up market share, which if they cut back, they'd have to do. John, it really, you know, it comes down to these simple forces of supply and demand. We have had an energy revolution in the United States. U.S. oil production is up 70% since 2008. It's a huge increase. The increase in U.S. oil production is larger than the output of every OPEC country except for Saudi Arabia. And at the same time, in the last few weeks, there's been this darkening mood about the world economy. And you had the head of the International Monetary Fund last week at their big meeting here in Washington talking about the new mediocre, that we're seeing slower growth rates in China, Europe perhaps heading back into recession. So you have this surge of demand going on from the United States and also from Canada with the growth of oil sands. And at the same time, you have weakening demand, and something has to give, and that something is price.
Does fear of Ebola in the industrialized world tip anything into a mood of, deflation, a sense that assumptions that were once positive maybe aren't so valid?
I think that's a very good point. And I think what you're doing is really looking down the road with that question a couple of weeks, because if we do see more cases and we do see fears that the international aviation system is a transmission belt, then that will also have an impact on the world economy. We saw something like that happen several years ago with the SARS epidemic in Asia, in which people didn't travel, they stayed home. And if you started to get into that kind of thing and gummed up the sort of whole transmission belts of international commerce, then Ebola would certainly add to the current downturn in a way that a month ago no economist would have expected.
So no individual should maybe have a realistic fear of Ebola in the industrialized world, unless you work at that hospital in Dallas. But economists can have a realistic fear of an incremental decrease in demand and productivity because of these kinds of SARS-like effects of Ebola fear.
Yeah, you would affect travel, you'd affect world trade. And certainly, if there's a kind of panic or edge of panic, that will affect people's psychology about everything. You'd probably see people stocking up on vitals to keep in their houses. But right now, it's really and I could see it at the World Bank meeting, the IMF meeting this weekend, you could feel much more pessimism about the world economy. And the only place where things seem to be going well is the United States, actually, with some positive economic news. Africa has been, over the last decade, seen as a great economic success story. People talk about the new middle class in Africa, and Ebola could certainly, if it spreads in Africa, disrupt that trend.
Is there the possibility that if oil prices stay at this level, that some of the new oil sands and sources of supply in North America would suddenly not be economically viable anymore before we go?
No, I don't think so. I think if it's, well, see some of it, you know, but it seems that much of it would still continue to be economic in the kind of where in the kind of price range we are now. But you may not see the same kind of remarkably buoyant growth that we've seen over the last few years, which has really kind of continually exceeded projections. And one other thing to say, this is good news for motorists, because we calculate that we'd be looking at something compared to June to where prices are now. If this continues over a year, this will put over $160 billion into the pockets of motorists. And you know what they'll do with that money? They'll spend it, and that will be good for the economy.
Thank you so much for ending on a positive note there, Daniel. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Daniel Yergin is author of The Quest, Energy, Security, and the Remaking of the Modern World. He's also the vice chair of IHS, a global information company.